Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. Thank you for joining us for this conversation.
Hello! Welcome! It's another episode of the Uncommon Journey podcast. I'm Alyssa Miller, and I am here with the two most amazing co-hosts anyone could ever ask for. I've got Philip Wiley here with me.
Hey, Alyssa. How's it going?
Hey. Good, Phil. And I've also got Chloe Mostaghi here.
Howdy, howdy.
Welcome aboard, everybody. Here we go once again. So the bear wrestler, the pre-med student, the humanitarian walk into the virtual InfoSec bar. And look at that over there, sitting up to the bar with his margarita in hand. It's Brian McInnes. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing splendid, madame. How are you?
So good. So good to see you here.
Likewise. Thanks for having me.
I mean, we run into some amazing folks here in this InfoSec bar, I'm telling you. So maybe there's some people out there, though, who aren't as familiar with you as all of us are with each other. Could you just go ahead and share a little bit about yourself? Tell folks who you are and what you do.
Sure. Where do I start? Probably 1984 is a great year. Very Orwellian, but that's also the year where I started coding at the age of 8. So do the math. I'm an old dude.
You only got me by a couple years.
Yeah. So quick side story on that. Grandfather was a science teacher at a middle school. I didn't grow up with the luxury of having computers at home. So he took me into his lab, computer lab, one day on a Saturday, sat me down with a choose your own adventure, Apple Basic programming book. And you know, I attribute much of my interest in tech and security and by extension of that, my success to him. So
Awesome.
So fast forward to dot com era, kind of just got interested in, was the Microsoft versus Linux. Linux was really coming on the scene, got interested in Linux, taught myself networking, system administration, really took up coding, taught myself C, that evolved into Perl, PHP, blah, 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 blah. So I've been doing this pretty much all my life. I'd like to say I've been in security professionally for 17 years, unprofessionally for about 23. And unprofessionally, that's not a negative, meant to be negative, but I wasn't out in the corp world doing it as a profession, I guess, is a better way to say it.
I hear that. And I'm actually just sitting here listening to you tell us about your past. And I might as well just be looking in a mirror. It's kind of bizarre. Like, this is so similar. But so you are up to all sorts of cool stuff. I know, you're running an organization or two, and so kind of share with us some of the stuff that you have going right now.
Yeah, so I founded a startup called Pervade Cybersecurity in 2016. Like I said, I've just been kind of, I've been doing the corp world, internal security role for some time and, in various disciplines and capacities and just realized, hey, you know what, I could probably do something for myself. So I've always been very entrepreneurially spirited. I like to kind of go out, take risks. I'm a risk taker, to say the least, Phil will tell you. I did that, and I've got another side project I'm working on that I really haven't kind of, publicly exposed and marketed yet, so stay tuned for that. And then this hacking is not a crime thing has really taken off as of late. I grew up skateboarding in the 80s, and we would, I'm a Gen Xer, so I grew up doing a lot of things on my own, a lot of autonomy, and we'd just be out all day skateboarding, and we'd often get harassed by police. Because, in retrospect, we were on some private property, and skateboards tend to inflict some damage on stairs and handrails and stuff. So, but there was a movement started, it's called Skateboarding is Not a Crime. And it was just a black and white, very, very boring sticker, frankly. It said skateboarding is not a crime, and it really caught on in the skateboarding community. And they were often ostracized in a very similar manner as hackers now are. And so just coincidentally, I was also in the hacking freaking scene right around the same time, two different subcultures, a lot of commonalities between them. So a couple of years ago, 2018, I think it was, I was talking to Wirefall. He is the founder of the Dallas Hackers Association. And just over beers one night, I was saying, hey, I'm not really liking this whole connotation that's being applied to hackers. It's very negative, right? Very threatening, malicious kind of persona they're trying to portray us as. So, you know, and I was like, you know, hacking's not really a crime. It's more of a lifestyle. It's more of a mindset. And he was like, you know, this is Wirefall. So he's like, he's been doing it a long time too. He's like, that's a really good point. We started spitballing some ideas and I was like, you know, what if we came up with like a phrase that was just very implicit about what hacking was, right? And I was like, we were sitting there thinking, I was like, well, when I was young, I used to skateboard and told him the whole story. I was like, wait, skateboarding is not a crime. And I was like, and I thought on it and I woke up the next day and I was like, hacking is not a crime. That's just the exact same thing, right? Kind of came up with a sketch logo, unspecific, AKA Mad Hat. Took that, turned it into like a proper vector graphic, brushed it up a little bit. Kudos to him for volunteering to do that, completely free of charge. Great artist, by the way. And I think it was 2 years ago at DEF CON, I think I went to DEF CON with 500 of them and just kind of passed them out. Some of them ended up on, this was when it was at Caesars 2 years ago. So some of them ended up on the escalator handrails, over the escalator, laptops, phones. Johnny Xmas, I think it was, started handing out burner phones with stickers on them. It was cool. I was like, well, this might be a thing. Then last year hit. I was like, okay, I ran out of them the previous year pretty darn quickly, like in the first day and a half. Last year, I bought 5,000 of them, and I didn't go to one talk at DEF CON last year. I just literally sat in Planet Hollywood and Paris and wherever else it was, right? I forget where DEF CON, I had like three different places last year. And just handing them out, people walking by. I had a chef, like a sous chef at the Planet Hollywood, grab one, put it right on his chef coat, walked around with it all day. It was awesome. Got photos for proof. But yeah, so it's, I guess, kind of fast forwarding now, you know, I've just kind of been maintaining the Twitter, the Twitter account and finding some good content and, you know, just politely correcting people when they incorrectly use hacking or hacker in a negative connotation, kind of just nudging them, hey, you know, hackers are actually good people. What you're referring to are cyber criminals, threat actors, things of that nature. And then just before DEF CON this year, as luck would have it, I tweeted this video of a guy, and it was like, what most people think hacking is versus what it really is. And if you're interested, check out Hack Not Crime on Twitter. It's a pinned tweet, and it went like viral. It had like 3,500 likes and a couple hundred retweets. It's a humorous video, but it does point out like the common misconception of like, oh, it's this person, an evil, you know, hoodie with glasses in a dark room crouched over a keyboard. And now it's actually like in an IDE debugging code and Googling, you know, errors and trying to stuff like that, right? It's a little bit more innocuous than what most people think it is. So, and then coincidentally, Miss Chloe here hit me up on Hack Not Crime and said, hey, I've got some stuff I'm working on. Would you like to partner with me? Now, Chloe, we never really talked about this. I don't know if you knew I was running the account or not, but I was starstruck. I was like, Chloe, and I was like speechless. I was like, this is going to be awesome. I was like, by the way, this is Brian McEninch.
I was like, I wonder who runs this thing, because I need to be connected with them. They're doing things that I want to do with, and I want to work with someone else, because I've learned as an like, if you do any entrepreneurship or anything like that, you cannot do it alone. Like, it is almost impossible to do it alone. The ups and downs, like, it's so much to do. And so I was like looking for a partner in crime to help bring something to life. And yeah, Brian, go ahead. You can take it away.
Only one correction: a partner and not a crime.
Huh?
A partner and not a crime.
Yeah, you are right. Partner and not a crime.
Just kidding, of course. But yeah, I was starstruck. I was like, oh my gosh, it's Chloe. And we had bumped into each other maybe 2-3 times at HusaCon and somewhere else. I honestly don't remember where, but we knew each other mostly as kind of an acquaintance, I'd say. And you know, we started spitballing ideas, and it, like, just with the viral tweet, along with DEF CON week, and then we started just banging stuff out, a website up, Slack team. We strategized on how we want to build out like a network of advocates and affiliates and partners and things like that to kind of spread the message. And I, first of all, can't thank Chloe enough for stepping up. She's done a phenomenal job of spreading the word and getting us kind of engaged with key stakeholders that are going to really lead us down the path of success. So kudos to you, Chloe. And I'm stoked at where it's going right now. It's you know, the sky's the limit. This is really exciting time. So
yeah, actually I introduced the two of you at HUSETCon last year because Chloe was over the Bug Crowd Ambassador program and you were interested in being a Bug Crowd Ambassador. And
that's what it was.
It was at Wire Falls. Yeah. Wire Falls get together at the Airbnb.
That's what it was. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. And we had Jason Street came over, Chloe came over. And then Chloe, I think I watched your gamification talk last year at Texas Cyber Summit.
Yeah. Yeah. See, yep. Small world.
Yeah, it is small.
I hand out candy. I think you got some of it at some point. I always hand out candy. I miss handing out candy.
Sometimes.
So that's the gist of it. I'm really excited. We've got a lot of really, really talented advocates on our team that are, you know, Jake Williams, right? We've got Philip, we've got Wirefall, we've got Ray Redacted, we've got Jason Street. I mean, some pretty high profile players, you included, Alyssa. There's just, everyone agrees on the message. It's just a matter of getting it out there, right? And it's gonna take time. We've gotta be patient, but we've gotta be persistent on it.
No, and it's important. Like you said, I mean, biggest names in this industry have been talking about it. I mean, I've got a tattoo on my back shoulder from with a quote from Jason Street that he gave in a keynote at GurrCon, you know, 2014, I think. And exact same topic, you know, and the quote is, oh God, it's tattooed on my back, so I can't read it, right? But right. And I'm like sitting here like right now, what is it? It's artists and inventors, not criminals and freaks. Because yeah. I mean, that was the quote in his talk, and it's the reality. When you look at what a hacker is, so many of us are tired of that pejorative use of the term, and of course the imagery as well. I mean, CyDragon's another one who has been very public, both on LinkedIn and Twitter, about it. And so I think it's you put it out there before, right? It's giving them the alternative vocabulary to use that, yeah. Like, what you're actually talking about here isn't a hacker, it's a cyber criminal.
Right.
They might be hackers as well, and likely are, but may not be as well. But understand that hacker is a much larger umbrella. You're casting a much wider net. And I think that's crucial to a lot of us in this industry.
Yep. Our general line of thinking is you can be a hacker, but once you cross that line, you know, you go out of scope and you exploit when you're not authorized to, you're committing a crime. You're no longer a hacker, you're a criminal. And I know people have different feelings about cyber. Unfortunate reality is most people think they know what a hacker is. And those same people also are familiar with the term cyber, or at least what they think cyber is. I don't even know if we really know what cyber is, but anyway, that's another topic. But most of those same people are going to know what cyber and criminal are. So it's an easy transition. Let's you know, low hanging fruit. Let's move to cyber criminal. And then we can talk about threat actors, you know, state sponsored entities and all these other terms, right? Where we really kind of get granular on their motives and their means and opportunities and stuff like that. So
I'm actually kind of curious, have you run into any blowback from this? Like, for instance, I know there's a lot of people trying to get into the industry, trying to become, you know, hackers, pen testers, do bug bounties, whatever. And a lot of them are kind of enthralled by that imagery and that whole very, you know, clandestine sort of view of hackers in any of this work. Have you gotten pushback from anyone?
No, you know, and Chloe asked me the same question when she approached me. She's like, what kind of pushback you had? And none. I mean, it's been extremely positive. You'll have your occasional trolls online. I think Jake Williams tweeted something the other day. He quote tweeted someone. And this, I mean, no disrespect. I don't know this person, but they were grouchy. I'll just say that. They were kind of grumpy. You know, I'm going to block you because I disagree with you kind of things. But, you know, you're going to get that anywhere. You can't please all the people all the time. So generally a positive experience thus far, though. I've been very happy with it.
We haven't received any blowback, which is great. That means like, okay, so the messaging isn't too bad, but I know that, you know, it's always going to be a concern with us, especially when we start approaching like more of the press and more with legislators soon. We might hit that moment.
Yeah, I think we're going to get to a threshold of when we have enough advocates, it's going to hit a tipping point. And once we hit that tipping point and the awareness just goes, and we start engaging press, things could be taken out of context, words could be parsed incorrectly, misquoted, whatever, right? It happens. But we'll handle it as we go along. You know, we're building out a really good team. Like I said, I got Chloe by my side. She's phenomenal. In fact, I go to Chloe, I'm like, you think it's okay if I tweet this? She's like, yeah, go for it. You know, she's like the quality control filter.
I think I've only blocked like maybe one. I was like, yeah, that's too controversial. No, we cannot do that one. Nope. But other than that, like it's been fine.
Yeah, the account, I try to be, you know, that's the trick. You want to be edgy with your marketing, but you could cross the line by that much and whoosh, down you go. So it's always good to get a second opinion on stuff. And Chloe's been really, really diligent with that.
That's the magic of InfoSec Twitter in particular, right? I mean, we seem to be masterful when it comes to drama, like more so there's drama everywhere in social media and on Twitter in particular, but we really seem to do a great job of it in security. Like
we are masters of it. Yeah. I don't know. I try to steer clear of it, but sometimes you get dragged into it, you know?
Yeah. I feel you. I mean, before we went on here today, we were just talking about a situation where that exactly happened with me. You know, I tried to stay clear of it and somehow got myself sucked into it anyway. And it ended up turning into probably one of the more epic Threadzillas I can remember in recent past on Twitter. And, you know, unfortunately it happens. And sometimes some people just need that little extra smack in the face to, you know, let them know, hey, you're being kind of a jerk and an idiot and whatever. So
yeah, I don't remember the guy's handle, but there was someone trying to, I don't know if it was directed at women or not, but it was the guy maybe a month ago is basically saying, asserting that, I don't know if it was Caitlin Bowden, somebody, they were basically saying, you don't know what you think you know about security. And like all these people like backing whoever it was, like, I think you might be in the wrong here, guy. And it just went into this big, long thread. And I think Ian Coldwater jumped in. She was like, hey, you know this CVE such and such? And I mean, like, total, like, line, hook, and sinker. This guy came in. He's like, yeah, I know a little bit about that. And I think her response was like, look at it. My name's on it, baby. Like, oh, mic drop.
I was part of that one, too.
That was good.
We all were. I mean, that's awesome. Exactly the situation I was referring to was, you know, that guy who started out by attacking Gab Smash, of all people, who was just on with us a couple episodes ago. You know, and like, I'm sorry, she's probably one of the most intelligent people I know in the world. Like, I mean, she's way into biomedical sciences. She's way into security. She knows so much about so many different things. She can hot rod the shit out of a car if you want her to, right? And this dude comes in there and, you know, he's blasting about how she's not technical and whatever, and how women just in general weren't technical.
This might have been the same thread then. Maybe I was thinking.
Oh, I guarantee you it is. Because, I ended up exposing him for plagiarizing some stuff when I asked him some technical questions. Then, Ian set him up and busts out and like, yeah, look at it. It's got my name all over it.
Gosh, that was so good, man.
Yeah, when Ian did that, I was like, they set him up so perfectly.
Oh.
And they just, you know, when they came back with that retort of, you know, look it up, baby, my name's on it, or I forget how they put it exactly. It was so perfect. So, but that's the thing, right? And that's what happens in this industry, in this community sometimes, is you just, as many wonderful people as there are, as many great allies as there were, and in that thread, there were hundreds of people who popped in there and were like, just completely all over this guy who just didn't seem to get it either. Like he kept doubling down.
Triple, quadruple on occasion. Yeah. Well, I think my, you know, that, and I've seen numerous examples of instances of this. My take on it is, look, we're going to have disagreements within the community, but what I really do like is that when, can I swear on this?
Oh God, yes.
When you fuck with one of us, you fuck with all of us, right? And so we've got our each other's backs, like, you know, we'll put aside our differences. You mess with one, you mess with all. And I really, really like that about our communities. We got each other's backs.
That's true. I definitely do feel safe in the community. Like, I know if anyone ever crossed a line with me, because I get those weird DMs, which is just not appropriate. But if anyone was like, try to blackmail me or like try to do any of that stuff, I'm like, I will tweet you out if I need to, but I know I have, the community has my back on it. And that's the goodest, that the goodest is not a word, but that's the greatest thing. Cause you can't really find that in most industries where we have each other's backs. And I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, my wife's a CPA, so that's the first thing to come to mind. Can you imagine a bunch of accountants being like, yo man, you talk shit about my partner's math. Sup? Or whatever, right? No, I mean, there are communities. I mean, like, so I do MMA. And MMA is, like, next level, like, I got your back, right? You know, it usually boils over into, like, sports team fans. Like, I got your back. But, you know, it's got its own little social circles and communities and stuff. Ours is really interesting because we have such a such a diverse demographic, right, of race, gender identity, ethnicity, you know, age, whatever. I mean, it's across the board. I would say we're one of the most diverse communities in the world. And that's what I love about it, because diversity breeds innovation and critical thinking and all the other great things that I enjoy about the community. So, yeah, anyway, that was my 5-second speech on the community.
And it's a great point, right? And I think, you know, it comes down to those moments of, it's really about your intentions, right? Like, people can disagree in this community all the time, and it doesn't turn into a, last time I looked, that thread was like over 6,000 tweets, right? It you don't see that just because people are disagreeing. But when you come in with malice in your heart, and that's what you're going to do, is go after somebody in particular and call them out on ultimately what, you know, was completely an indefensible position, and just continue with it. Like, that's, you know, it's great to see that InfoSec in general will circle the wagons. We will defend our own and just be like, hey, you know, this isn't okay. And I mean, I don't want to overgeneralize the community, because you're right. I mean, there are so many different backgrounds floating around. I mean, that's why this show exists, right? Just to talk about where we all come from. But I think there's a lot of us, a lot of people in this community, myself included, who were the ones that got bullied as kids. And now we have a community where we can stand up if one of us is getting bullied and say, no, you're not going to do that. This isn't high school. This isn't grade school anymore. You know, this isn't the playground. We are all professionals here, and we're all incredibly smart, and we will shut you down if you act like a jerk.
Sure. Yep. True that. And that stuff Chloe mentioned. So I've got a tween daughter, and I'm already anticipating, you know, she's on her phone and she's got her first boyfriend and things like that. And I'm like, I'm trying not to think of what's going on without my knowledge. But, you know, Chloe's talking about receiving these inappropriate DMs. And, I haven't mentioned this to anyone, but I got not successfully catfished, but attempted catfish the other day. So I'll occasionally tweet about, I do like some stock trading and stuff like that. I like the fall markets. There's actually a lot of similarities between information security and actually stock trading, securities trading. Put together a talk on it maybe someday, but suffice to say, I got an interest in it. And this gal, Chinese woman, maybe not. My wife's Chinese, so kind of a coincidence. DMs me on Twitter and said, just like, hello, soft entrance and a nice introduction. And then like we start talking about like stocks and this, and then it turns into this whole, my uncle's such and such, basically we do this, we buy securities and we go out and market it until the price is up here. And then I tell you when the price reaches, when to sell. I'm like, that sounds like insider trading. Not to mention that I would have to send money overseas to do it. That sounds like a federal offense. I'm like, no, I'm not interested, but, you know. Thanks. I don't know who this person is. I tried to call, I'm going to assume it's a woman, but I tried to call her out on I was like, hey, you know, this is really inefficient typing back and forth. Why don't we do a video chat? Oh, sorry, my English is so bad, as she's typing in English.
Right. I'm sure she's using an automatic interpreter, right?
Maybe. I don't know. But after she declined video conferencing, I was like, see ya. Not that I really wanted to do anything, you know, carry any more conversation after the whole insider trading thing anyway. But I'm the type that likes to, if I catch someone in the act of doing something suspicious, I like to just kind of string them along and mess with them, just kind of tar pit them, as we used to say, like with firewall logs, right? You just tar pit them, open the TCP window and make it really long and just make their scans really slow. So I like to do that to people when they mess with me. I'm spiteful. I ain't gonna lie. I'm spiteful. Anyway, way off topic. I have ADHD, so bear with me.
Okay, so I have a question for you. Do you have any pets?
Say that again.
Do you have any pets at home?
I do.
Let's see your pets.
Well, so now we get into the part where this doesn't work, though. He's going to show us his pets, and nobody who's listening to this is going to be able to see these pets.
Well, that's the whole point, right? So then what we do is we describe what we see. And then we also are like, well, maybe you should reach out to Brian and ask for a photo of his dog. Boom.
Oh, see, this is set up. She totally just played you.
Trying to get the dog down here.
Then that gives people other angles to try to send Brian the messages like the insider trader person. Oh, so you're a dog person.
Oh, this is my Maximus right here.
No.
So he's like, what are you doing, human?
Those eyes and ears.
What's this right here?
So now that all our listeners are listening to us all melt over this amazingly cute dog. Oh my gosh. We've talked about a lot of good in the community. We've talked about the things that we'd like to see changed about how the general public interacts with the community. We talked a little bit about drama, but what is the thing within the community that you, if you could change one thing about the way the community operates, what would it be?
That's a question to me.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
What would I change about how the community operates? Ooh. That's so multifaceted.
We got time. Open it up.
No, let me go pour myself a drink. I'll be right back. What would I like to see changed? Well, obviously, because hacking is not a crime. I mean, that's kind of right at the forefront. I'd like to see that perception changed. That's not necessarily a problem within our community. But I think what we could do as a community to make that message more palatable is when we speak to those outside of it, try to be more, I don't know what the word is, not empathetic and not, I don't know what the word is I'm trying to think of here. You know, just try to be more diplomatic, maybe, whatever it would be. Present what you're saying in a... I'm at a loss for words. I'm not even sure what adjectives I'm looking for right now. Chloe, help me out. What am I looking for here? PR. Come on, I need some PR here.
Come on, Chloe, edit his tweet. I mean, just an awareness in the language that they're using is what it sounds like you're saying. Well, I mean, just...
What we need is for... Like, if we're going to have any change in the hacker community needs to stand up. And I know a lot of us are like, it's too big of a battle to fight, you guys. You guys are such believers. But in reality is that if we're going to do anything, it has to be a grassroots effort that as a community, we have to push out, you know, change the wording. We have to all agree that the term hacker describes who we are and that that's the term that we are going to keep and keep pushing out there to try to change the stereotypes that exist because of that term. And also to try to let people know outside of the InfoSec world that we are hackers, we're not criminals, and there's a huge difference between the two. We do not go out of scope, we do not exploit, we do it as a profession, we do it as a side thing. But the thing is, at the end of the day, we're just trying to secure things and we're very curious individuals. And I think that's the thing is trying to get convince the public that the stereotype of a hacker is incorrect. So that was a hoodie in darkness and a ski mask.
Yeah, that was, and thank you, Chloe.
You're welcome, Brian.
I think what I was really kind of searching for was be proactive in disproving those stereotypes, right? Whatever adjective you want to apply to that. Be diplomatic in your efforts. Don't be overly aggressive. Don't harass people. Be respectful. You know, it's going to take some patience to convince people of this. You know, we're effectively saying, the public's saying the sky's not blue, and we're actually saying, well, actually it is blue. You've just been told it's not for so long, but look up, it's blue. So, it's gonna take some patience, but, persevere. And like Chloe said, it's a grassroots effort. It's going to be a bottom up approach, because so far it's been top down, and that's obviously not the most effective way of doing it.
Exactly. All right, Brian, are you ready for your questions?
10 of them?
Yes.
I need a drink. Okay,
all right. Question number one, what is your favorite movie?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go change my my security questions. Is this a social engineering exercise?
Maybe. I'm not saying anything.
You know, I'm going to say, honestly, that's tough. I really liked War Games, and I'm not just saying that because of the whole hacker theme we're going on here. That really opened my eyes to, you know, I started coding in 84. I think that came out in 84. I think it was the same year. I saw that probably not right at its release, but I saw that and I was like, oh, wow, this guy's like war dialing. And I didn't know what that was, right? It's like, look, he changes grades and whatever, right? That one really inspired me, I would say. It also, I think, had a tendency to lead maybe into some sort of like CFAA, right? They saw, wow, this guy could accidentally break into NORAD and launch nukes and create World War III. So it had a big impact on me and society in general. I think if I had to go with like just general movies, though, I love Snatch. I've probably seen that movie 50, maybe 100 times. You've seen Snatch?
Once, a long time ago. Don't
remember it, really. Just once? Oh, you got to go watch it tonight. Seriously.
I like that. I love it, Brad.
Fine time, Brian, if I can.
I just love, I love British culture, British comedy. I'm a Monty Python, Mr. Bean.
Monty Python for the win. Well, now I don't need to ask you, what's your favorite show? That's your favorite show.
Yeah.
Wrong. What's your favorite show?
What's my favorite show? Gosh, man, these are tough questions. There's so many. I have to preface it by saying I don't watch a lot of television. If I had to go with a show, like a series that I've watched and really enjoyed, I'm going to go with Silicon Valley. I really like Silicon Valley.
How do you take your tea?
I don't drink tea. Well, I do drink green tea. Green tea, like with lemongrass and honey.
Okay. How do you take your coffee?
Lots of sugar and cream.
Have you ever, what's that place called? Oh my God. Help me out here. Maybe it is a coffee place in Austin. They have something Moon Coffee.
Never had it. Nope. Sorry.
That was going to be my next question. Have you ever had theirs? Because Summer Moon is like amazing. When I land in Austin, I always go straight there. No matter what time it is, I'll be so caffeinated. And then I can
I got to Google this. Summer Moon Coffee?
I think it's called like something Moon Coffee.
Summer Moon Coffee. It's in Burnett.
Awesome. It's delicious. You have to try it next time. Okay. Next thing. What's your favorite alcoholic beverage?
Margarita con hielo y sal. That is a margarita with ice and salt on the rocks.
Gotcha. Okay. So are you more of a tequila or mezcal fan then?
Tequila. Specifically, I like Reposado. It is the, I think it's 3 to 6 months aged oak barrel. And then they have Añejo above that. And then they've got another one. I forget the name. It's too expensive for me. That's the name.
If you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live?
Oh, man. I got to be honest. I mean, if I had the money, I hate to sound cliche. My heart is in San Francisco. I love San Francisco. But I think a second, very close second runner up to that would be Tokyo. I love Tokyo. You can get away pretty quickly and be in the countryside, but man, there's nothing like Tokyo. It's just, it's a completely different world. Culture, everything. It's completely different.
If you could eat like one dish for the rest of your life, what dish would that be?
Oh, it's going to be some variation of Mexican food. My wife will tell you, I could eat Mexican food 7 days a week. I had it last night for dinner, authentic mole enchiladas.
Have you tried making mole?
It's hard. No. It's like making a curry.
Yeah, I did it once. It took 3.5 hours. Like more than 22 little ingredients of little different things that you have to pan roast like each individual. It was such a pain.
Yep.
Okay. Do you bake at all?
Yeah.
Do you ever watch
Go ahead.
Do you ever watch The Great British Bake Off?
My wife and daughter do. I will occasionally sit down and watch an episode or something with them.
Are they excited for next week?
You haven't heard from them quite yet, but presumably.
I just found out that it's coming back next week, so I'm very excited. next question for you. If you could be any animal, what animal would you be?
That's a tough one, too. I'm going to go probably either honey badger or a bald eagle. Okay. Just because they're just cool as shit. They're just awesome animals.
And the people that are closest to you, if they were to answer that question, what would that answer be?
Probably a sloth.
And my last question for you.
A sloth or a squirrel, one of the two, because I'm either on or off, you know?
There is nothing complimentary in that, I don't think. Although I shouldn't say that because I do have friends who I know very much love sloths, so.
I'm either like go, 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 or Philip will tell you. He's known me long enough.
You're usually go, 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 unless you're at a conference at the end of the day and you get tired and you want to chill out. So that's about
okay. Okay. So more squirrel than sloth.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, people usually say I'm a hummingbird on something, which I won't say on the podcast.
Yeah.
And last question for you is, if you could give any piece of advice about anything in the world, what would it be?
Oh man, I'm really into like Eastern philosophy. I've got so many quotes that I just want to roll off. So I'll tell you what I'll do instead of advice. General advice would be don't focus on the destination, focus on the journey. And with that, I will quote what I have pinned on my Twitter account. And there's a Confucius quote that hit me hard one day because I was going through some tough times a few years ago and I was really studying Eastern philosophy, but this one really hit me. It says, we have two lives and the second one begins when we realize we only have one. It's like, and it's like, stop waiting, go live your life, go do something. You're only here once, as far as we know anyway, right? So go make a difference, leave an impact, have a legacy, you know, meet everybody that you could possibly can. Help them pay it forward, you know, make the world a better place. That's not just one line, I know.
Well, thank you so much. That was awesome. You answered all my questions and now I'm getting to your bank account. Wonderful.
I had a feeling there might be something about this.
I have to go reset those security questions. And, you know, we've reached that point of the show that, hey, you can go do that because, we got to cut it off. It's been a wonderful conversation. We had a lot of fun today. Lots of great stuff. God, folks, once again, I'm telling you, the guests we get on this show are just amazing. Can't thank you enough, Brian, for being here with us. To our listeners, thank you for tuning in once again and checking us out. On behalf of Philip, Chloe, myself, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you again on down the road on The Uncommon Journey.
If you enjoyed this podcast, share ITSP Magazine with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our columns. Thank you for listening.